This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mark Packer, Wes Durham, cast of thousands, the smart people in Bristol. And like I keep telling you, we're just hanging out at the house, trying to entertain you for the next 3 hours. Wes, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Pack. Great to be with you. We got a great show today. Bottom of the hour, Mark's interview with Dabo Swinney from yesterday's edition of Off Campus over on SiriusXM ESPN U Radio. We'll have that for you. Good comments from the Clemson head coach as they get ready for Saturday night in very chilly, frosty Blacksburg. Clemson and Virginia Tech in primetime tomorrow night on ABC. 8:15, Joe Giglio from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh and WRELSportsFan.com. We'll stop by as well. We'll talk about the Wolfpack weekend ahead and also the A-plus number here in just a moment for Wes Moore. Bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, Mike Tirico, who will have Notre Dame-Syracuse tomorrow, will join us. He's been the voice of Notre Dame football on NBC all the last couple of years at least, and, of course, one of the great Syracuse alums. We'll talk to Mike. 9 o'clock, Roddy Jones. 9:30, Mark Herzlick. So all the football, all the run-up to a busy weekend in ACC play. But we start last night in Columbia, South Carolina, where Wes Moore took his Wolfpack to the Colonial Life Center in the heart of Columbia and beat number one South Carolina last night, Pack. 54-46, the final.
Wes Moore joined us on Wednesday. We previewed this game. He talked about what an incredible opportunity it is. Again, South Carolina's got a great program. The Wolfpack coming off an ACC championship season, but really, really young. And you know what? They didn't seem to mind snapping South Carolina's 29-game win streak. And in the process, first time he knocked off the number one since 2007. A great win for Wes Moore and his club. A terrific win for the ACC, and again, Dawn Staley's built a monster down in Columbia. You beat that crowd any point in time, that's a huge accomplishment, and what a great shot in the arm to start the season for NC State, and again, a tremendous win for the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yeah, dagger from Kayla Jones late, three-pointer kind of put it to a 2-3-possession ball game, and the Wolfpack coasted from there. Alisa Kanane strong at the free throw line late as well. Some big free throws to eventually make it an 8-point margin. South Carolina did not shoot the ball well. NC State didn't shoot it great either. So possessions were doubled up on value, if you will, especially in the second half. From the fourth quarter on, Pack, it really was a one-possession game until about, the last 90 seconds, it seemed like.
Yeah, you know, the bottom line is it just means more when you have more points. And at the end of the night, NC State gets the W, gets on the bus, heads on back to Raleigh. And again, Wes Moore's done a great job. We keep talking about the powers in this league. Louisville's been out of sight. Notre Dame's off to a struggling start. We'll get into all that stuff later on, too. But, man, for NC State, what a week. I mean, what a week. You got a big game with Georgia Tech, which we'll talk about in football. The men's team's rocking and rolling. They got a big game with UConn this weekend. And Wes Moore gets the job done last night. Again, a great, great win for NC State.
Let's toss to the coach after the ball game with Courtney Lyle and Carolyn Peck.
I thought our kids did an unbelievable job. I couldn't be prouder of them. And, you know, I'm just so – this is such a big win to go on the road, beat number one team in the country, and shorthanded, so to speak. So, I you know, we may not practice real hard tomorrow.
Practice? How about party like a rock star? You know, you get that 24-hour rule, right, Wes? That's how that works. You get 24 hours to enjoy it, and then you got to get to work. So, last time I checked, they're still within that 24 hours. But just a great, great win for NC State, no question.
Congratulations to Coach Moore and the Wolfpack on the win. The 29-game win streak for South Carolina is snapped, and NC State continues their fine play. And tell you what, it's we're setting the table for a nice year in women's basketball in the ACC, Pack.
Well, we know Louisville's Louisville's a beast. You got to deal with it. NC State's the defending champ. Syracuse is off to a roaring start, and you see some of the scores last night. I mean, everybody's been kind of buzzing about North Carolina a little bit. They only won by 70 If Drew Brooks at South Carolina State's women's program in 69, he would have been a loser last night. Heels won by 70. So I think you've got at least a half dozen teams in this league early. Again, it's still early across the board. I don't want to put a blanket statement on anybody yet. Yeah. But this is going to be a great race coming down the stretch. But you know Louisville's going to be really good. NC State proving their worth. And Syracuse sitting there in the top 25, too. It's going to be a really, really terrific league.
All right, let's take you to the bubble at Mohegan Sun on the men's side last night. And we'll start with the Wolfpack again because Kevin Keats's team got out of the gate early and made it look easy against UMass Lowell last night at Mohegan Sun. Devin Daniels powered the Wolfpack to a win last night, 90-59, 18 points, 4 rebounds. Jericho Helms was on his game. State looked strong last night. I was really, really kind of interested to see their depth last night, Pack, and I saw it in the first half. Saw enough in the first half to say, you know what, this crowd might be pretty good. Here's Helms, who's now a junior out front. His range has gotten a lot better, and NC State just looked really solid last night against a team that might have been overmatched almost from the jump.
Well, that's where I was going to go. I'm not trying to squelch the party here a little bit, but NC State has destroyed every opponent they've played. They've also been superior to all three opponents. I think this weekend becomes a better litmus test when they take on UConn and we kind of find out, all right, you know, where is this crew? Because they've really looked the part. And, you know, that's all you ask. Yeah, you play who's in front of you. And they have destroyed all their opponents, including last night. But like I said, they shot 52%, which to me is a good thing, given the fact that some teams this year, it looks like they just can't simply shoot. Wolfpack's taking care of business there. They're scoring. And I'll go back to what Seth Greenberg said really almost a week and a half ago when we kind of previewed the year before we saw anybody play. And we said, give me two or three teams that, you know, flying underneath the radar, nobody's talking. He went right to NC State. And so you know, Seth normally has a pretty good handle on what's happening here. So just keep an eye on the Wolfpack. Again, women win last night. Incredible win. Big game for the football team this weekend against Georgia Tech, trying to close out the deal with 7 ACC wins for the first time ever. And now the men's program with some momentum, but a good test this weekend. When we come back Monday, NC State men's basketball will be worthy of a conversation.
Yep, I think you're right about that. We'll stay in the bubble for the nightcap and ooh, tough night at the office for Boston College.
Ooh,
Florida played fast, and the Gators beat Boston College last night 90-70. Keontae Johnson, the preseason player of the year in the Southeastern Conference, had 24 last night for Mike White's team. Florida looked the part last night.
Yeah,
Florida looked like a team that that wanted to deliver a message. 49-29 at the half. Johnson finished, as I said, with 24. Boston College has changed gears a little bit offensively. We've talked about that, scoring more points. But last night was the second straight night they've allowed 90 or more in consecutive games for the first time in about 4 years, 3.5 for sure. So the Eagles take the loss last night. 90-70 is the final up there at Mohegan Sun. Let's pivot to Blacksburg, Pack.
I will just – let me just – Wes.
Oh, go ahead.
To be fair, it just means more when you have more points, right? I'm just going to say that.
That's right.
Always the case. I don't care what the sporting event. It just means more when you have more points. But
right.
I agree with you. The Gators looked good last night. And for
that's
BC,
right.
You know, they've really played and tested themselves early. But last night, man, you know what? You got beat by a better team last night. No question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Florida, I think, will be a handful in the SEC. Pivot to Blacksburg, Virginia Tech 64, VMI 57. This one was closer, probably, than people thought. Kevi Aluma, a double-double, 17-12 last night from Mike Young's team. See the long one from Hunter Couture there. Inside, Naheem Aline, Tyrese Radford, all effective. Wabisa Beatty shot and scored. Here's Aluma, who's going to be a handful. You can just see it coming. Perfect fit for what Virginia Tech wants to do. 4-0 for the third consecutive year are the Hokies. Nice start for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Mike Young joined us this week. I will point out, because I watched some of this last night, 4 of 27 from beyond the arc. 4 of 27. That number has to get better. I mean, that, you know, VMI is one thing, but when we crank this thing up, again, I know Villanova's in the back pocket, which was an awesome win, but 4 of 27 is not going to beat good teams. And again, that game was a little bit closer last night than I think any of us expected. But hey, you get the win, you move on.
Last night at the Dome, Syracuse beat Niagara by 30, 75-45. The story is, the win is fine. The story is five players did not play last night, including Buddy Boeheim, due to contact tracing. There was a positive discovered in the Syracuse basketball team from testing that was done on Wednesday. So that positive obviously is out. The contact tracing took others out, and yet the Orange played last night and won by 30. Syracuse announced less than 2 hours before the game that one of its players had tested positive for COVID-19. The school said in the release prior to the ball game that the positive results stemmed from testing that occurred last week. Syracuse did not reveal which player tested positive and indicated that because of the new positive test, additional players would miss the game. The most notable of those was Buddy Boeheim. Pack, it brings about a question, though, about basketball. And we're going to go back to a conversation where Mike Bray said this in a quote that we ran on the show a couple weeks ago. We've not been told what the minimum is. We've not been told you must have six. You must have seven. Last night, Syracuse was down five. I looked over there on the bench when I was watching the ballgame. They had two sitting there and maybe one at the table. So eight maybe. We're going to have a point in a game this season. I don't know if it's in the ACC or not.
It's going to happen.
Where we're going to have the old Gene Hackman. My team is on the floor.
Right. Hey, Rick Barnes, I got four left. Let's go. Roll the ball out there. Let's play. You're right, Wes. We don't know the answer to that, but you can rest assured we're going to get one of those. We're, guarantee you. I mean, it's going to happen. You're going to get one of those nights where you go, Team X only got four guys left, man. Let's go. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen any documentation from the NCAA about minimums. I guess they're just figuring out that, hey, the teams will figure it out as they go along. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you on that one.
Right.
But you're right. But not only did you have that story with Syracuse, you also had Louisville having to pause their operations and their game with UNCG not happening. So this is going to be the norm. It was the norm in football. Why is it not going to be in basketball? It is. Fake left, go right. You got to adapt. Schedules are going to be changed and tweaked and everything else. And without anybody else's permission, you have to do what you have to do. And that's where we are. So hopefully we can – I keep telling you, the basketball world – we have to get to the finish line. If we miss some games early, so be it. If we miss some games in the middle, so be it. But we've got to get an ending to this season in hoops. That's a must.
Yeah. The Louisville situation comes about from testing, of course. Vince Tyree, the athletics director, we're going to monitor day to day. The ball game today with UNC Greensboro that was scheduled to be broadcast here on ACC Network has been tabled. Likewise, a game that I think Duquesne was going to play against Winthrop Pack has also been tabled at the KFC Yum Center in Louisville. The other question that comes up here is if, in fact, the activities among Louisville's basketball program have been paused, what does that do to not only Wednesday night's ball game in the ACC Big Ten Challenge at Wisconsin, but also the December 16th game against NC State to open conference play? There's where we're talking, right there.
Who knows?
That's the fluidity of the deal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. We'll just have to wait and see. But it's going to be, hey, like I keep telling you, I mean, it's like a broken record here. It's just what it is, and we got to do the best we can, stay healthy, and hopefully get some of these games in.
All right. Now, before we go to break here, I want folks to remember that there's been a point of contention on this show in its 272 editions, as the internet also always telling you that Mark's birthday is in March.
No.
His birthday is not in March. No. We touched on this earlier in the week.
Right.
His birthday is actually in October.
Right.
And yesterday, just in time for the 60-day delay in the birthday, you received a birthday present.
Yeah, Robin the Duke fan, who has been on this show. He's actually smokes meats for us last year. And, of course, he has a injury. He's had surgery, and he can't move. Well, he sent me a note yesterday and said, hey, Pack, you going to be there? I said, you know, no, I got a business meeting after the show. And he had a friend bring by a birthday. He had a birthday gift for me from October. And this is it. I have not opened it. I have no earthly idea what's in here. So at some point in time during the show, we'll open this thing up. And it's kind of heavy. So I don't know what it is.
Why don't open it now?
You want to do it now? Okay.
Let's open it now.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know when. I didn't read the memo. So I don't know what this thing is.
It's in a,
and
oh no, it's taped. It's taped, all sorts of things.
Yeah, I may have to get I don't have the necessary equipment to break into whatever this is. So we'll do it during the break. I promise.
Great.
We'll find out what it is.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, real quick, because I know we want to get to football. I still don't know what this thing is. Robin the Duke fan. Oh, there's even more. Oh, we got like spatulas and stuff for the grilling. How about that?
Is it monogrammed?
Nope, don't need monogram. We're grilling, Wes. You don't need no stinking monogram on a grill. We got more stuff. Man, I tell you, Robin has gone out of his way.
Grilling great, huh? Getting a little advertising on the show. Ooh, nice.
Yeah. How about that? Grilling great, yeah. I got a pair of them and a spatula. Oh. There you go. Grilling greats. That's what we got. So, Robin, thank you very much. It will be used. Look at that. Grill greats. That will be used maybe this weekend. Yeah, I know it's going to be 32 degrees. There's nothing better. A little grill, a little heat, a little meat. Football, cold weather, one ice cube, three fingers, and a spatula. What more does a man need? That, some good dogs, and a beautiful, wonderful wife. Life is good. Fire pit, s'mores, and some more bourbon. Thank you, Robin. Appreciate that. All right, Wes.
Now you got a lot of grilling elements.
Hey, you know,
yeah. All right.
Happy birthday to me. December. Who knew? December birthday. I thought it was March. It's really October. We're celebrating December. I feel like Katie George.
There you go.
I feel like Katie George.
That's
every
right.
day is your birthday.
That's right. All right. Let's get to the items here involving the two quarterbacks that could potentially be on a course for the championship game in Charlotte. That's Ian Book of Notre Dame and, of course, Trevor Lawrence of Clemson. You may have heard Notre Dame has a spot in the ACC championship game, much to the dismay of people in other leagues, which still befuddles me, but nonetheless.
No, league, not leagues.
Clemson wins on
Saturday. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's get it right. We're always transparent. League. There's only one league that apparently is upset with how the ACC does business. Only
that's
one
right.
that I'm aware of.
So anyway, we'll check with them on how we need to paint the mailbox next year. All right. Clemson wins on Saturday, of course, and they'll play Notre Dame in the championship game. The Irish are looking for their fourth straight 10-win season. But what we're really getting to in this is that if we do get this matchup in Charlotte, it'll be two of the greatest quarterbacks in their respective schools' history, Pac.
Right.
And now they're going to have a thing called wins to back it up. And that's the one thing that, oh, well, how successful was he as a quarterback? Well, at Notre Dame and at Clemson, it'll be hard to find quarterbacks who've been more successful than Ian Book and Trevor Lawrence, Pac.
That is correct, because they are both, ironically, tied for first respectively, in terms of wins as a starting quarterback. And Ian Books at the number 29. Mm. And when you start talking about Brady Quinn, Ron Pallas, Tom Clements, those are the other dudes at 29. I do like Notre Dame's chances tomorrow against Syracuse, where he breaks the tie and goes to 30. And then the flip side, ironically, is you got Clemson. You got four guys with 32 wins. In fact, you'll hear Dabo Swinney talking about that coming up here momentarily with Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Taj Boyd, and Rodney Williams. So how ironic. The two teams that are really, you got to figure 1 and 1A right now. And no disrespect to Miami, as I keep telling you, they're in the top 10 and still have a chance. But the two storylines with those two quarterbacks going into their games tomorrow, a W equals all-time best. And, hey, it's all about scoreboard, right? It's all about the W. And for guys like Ian Book and Trevor Lawrence, they got a chance to put themselves at the top of the list at both Notre Dame and Clemson, respectively, tomorrow.
By the way, Ian Book also has thrown 237 passes without an interception. That's the longest streak in Notre Dame history. He did that by snapping a streak of 226 that belonged to Brady Quinn 14 years ago. His QBR of 91 in the last five games is the best in the ACC over that span. And it brings back to mind, in fact, let's show you this. The highest QBR since October 24th belongs to Ian Book. And it's higher than Uiagalelei. It's higher than Howell. It's higher than Cunningham. But 2,097 yards, 18 touchdowns, six of them rushing. Hadn't had an interception since week one against Duke. Look, I don't know who the quarterback, first-team All-ACC quarterback is going to be, okay? But it's going to be a lot closer than people think. I mean, you got Trevor Lawrence, you got Sam Howell in the mix, but Ian Book has had himself a year in terms of the statistical numbers he's been able to put on the board.
Good luck with the All-ACC vote. And that's not the only category that's going to pull your hair out, assuming you have any left. I've harped on this all summer. It's why it was so imperative for the ACC to play football this year. It's one of those years where, number one, you have the best collection of quarterbacks from top to bottom of any league in the country. That's been proven. You've got the best collection the league's had of other talent. When you start talking about different position groups, defensive line, defensive end, linebackers, safeties, running backs, wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I mean, the league has a ton of players. I'm just telling you. So for folks that have an All-ACC ballot, this is going to be difficult. And you can't just go automatic, well, I had them picked in the middle of June. You got to do some homework. You got to dig this year, because there are so many categories where it is really, really rich in talent. And guys have had tremendous years. And quarterback is no different.
Here is the list of the Tiger quarterbacks that Trevor Lawrence is trying to become the all-time leading winner at Clemson in starts. Deshaun Watson from 14 to 16. Taj Boyd from 10 to 13. What kind of run has Clemson had, by the way? Shoot. From 2010 on, it hadn't been bad to be a Tiger, huh?
If you don't think it's a coincidence that the Dabo run of Clemson dominance totally coincides with great quarterback play. And if that doesn't wake everybody up around the country about, man, we want to be an elite team, well, I highly suggest you find an elite QB, because that's how it works in college football. I think, to be honest with you, it's how it works in football, period. You better have that guy under center who can make plays. If you don't, you know what? There's only so far you can go.
Yep. Trevor Lawrence followed by Deshaun Watson, Taj Boyd. And people forget, if you didn't follow ACC football, by the way, in the mid to late 80s, Rodney Williams was really good. Really good at quarterback for the Tigers, too. Different kind of offense, different set of circumstances, but Rodney Williams was really, really good at quarterback.
Youngster people, we're going to line up run the ball, Rodney. Don't throw it to the other guy, Rodney. Hey, that was a different era of football, man. Line them up, knock them down. Danny Ford, 80s. That was my era. It's a different beast now, man. You got to sling that thing all over the yard now. It's different. It is different.
Yeah. That's right. Thanks, Coach. Good to see you on a Friday.
Go get my hemp. Hemp farm.
See, a lot of people like the Justin Fuente. I like the old school stuff. I'm more of the Danny Ford, Frank Hyard type stuff.
Well, you know, Danny.
I like Justin Fuente. Don't get me wrong.
Danny, Danny coached at Virginia Tech. Oh, you got that Clemson Virginia Tech thing going on this weekend. Oh, yeah. He was an assistant at Virginia Tech. He spent some time in Blacksburg. Yeah. He's got that hemp farm down there right outside in Pendleton. They're at the farm now. He's got it going on.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
As Wes alluded to, every Thursday, Dabo Swinney joins me during the regular season to talk a little football and other stuff. That was the case yesterday on Off Campus, which is on SiriusXM channel 84. And we start off by just saying, hey, listen, Coach, man, your boys are ready to roll. They looked great against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's good to get back in the win column, and just an awesome job our team showing up, you know, with the type of focused intensity, and that's how we wanted to start. You know, Pitt's a good team, and they were hot coming off two big wins, but we really played complimentary football. Defense set the tone, offense was explosive, and just an awesome day, Senior Day, Military Appreciation Day, and it was almost like an opener all over again. We came through it healthy, and hopefully we can, you know, put another back-to-back performance together like that this week.
Cornell Powell, you've had a lot of great wide receivers, but Cornell Powell's had a real breakthrough year. And really, in the last month in particular, last three or four games specifically, he has just been a superstar. It's kind of a cool story, isn't it? A guy that just keeps on grinding and, again, he's been surrounded by great players and now has the opportunity to step up and make plays. And son of a gun, he has just been awesome.
He has. And you know, he's had some moments. You know, he came in here as a freshman and did some good things and was really close to starting toward the end of that year in 15 and got hurt. He comes back and so he wasn't able to kind of get the opportunity. Then he comes back in 16 and he's had good moments, but he's not been that frontline guy because, you know, all the guys that were in front of him are now playing on Sunday. You know, Deion and Ray Ray and Hunter Renfro and T. Higgins, Justin Ross and Amari came in and, you know, those were guys. So he had to learn how to compete and I think originally he thought it was going to be a little easier than it was. He's always had the talent, but honestly, he really just didn't quite have the motor that he needed to compete with those guys. And then this year, man, he had a desperation to him in spring practice, fall camp, and it's just been awesome to see, you know. And that's the way this game is. You know, some guys, the light comes on sooner than others. And we've had a lot of guys that had great fifth years or great fourth and fifth years, And he's definitely one of those guys. And, I mean, he has been a huge reason for our success. I mean, it's amazing what he's done. And you give him all the credit because he's put the work in. He's been coachable. He's been patient. He certainly could have left here. You know, he's had three 100-yard games in a row. That ties a Clemson record. He knew Hopkins and Sammy Watkins are the only guys ever to have back-to-back 150-plus-yard games. And so, I mean, I'm just really proud of him and Amari. Amari's a senior and Cornell's a fifth year senior. And those two guys have stepped up because people have challenged us to throw the ball. And why would you not? You got, you know, unproven guys and you got, ETN in the backfield, you know, what do you want to focus on? And so people have really loaded up to stop the run and what Cornell has been able to do, I think really, sets us up to have good success here, you know, to finish the season. So really happy for him, proud of him. He's become an excellent leader. He's very mature, and he's having fun.
Speaking of the end of the season, that's what you have in terms of the regular season this week. The ACC makes a scheduling change. Apparently they didn't get approval from Greg Sankey, who's upset that you guys are going to have to play 10 just like the rest of his league. So this week you end the regular season. with your 10th game going on the road to Virginia Tech. I don't need to tell you, you win this game, you're going to see Notre Dame in the ACC championship game. That would also lock up your sixth straight title appearance. You've won five in a row, looking to try to make six, but you're going to have your hands full, as you well know. The cold, Virginia Tech got 2 weeks to get ready for you. They've not had a fun November, going 0-3, but this is a really talented bunch, good up front, and you know that they're going to try to run the football because that's what they do best.
Yeah, no question. And, yeah, we'd love to get to Charlotte and have a chance to win six in a row, but you can't win six in a row if you don't get there. And the only way we're going to get there is to take care of business in Blacksburg. And you know, listen, this is a very tough team, a physical team. They're ninth in the country in running the football, 250-plus a game. They're, I think, fourth in the country in yards per carry. Quarterbacks leading the world in all-purpose. I mean, this is a team that's exactly what they're committed to run the football, quarterback run, and all the stuff that comes off of that. You know, the play actions, the boots, the max protects, deep shots, and everything in between. So a lot of eye candy and really kind of option principles. And that's how you have to play defensively against these guys. They create a lot of stress on you defensively. But they do a nice job, really good backs, very experienced, veteran, physical offensive line. And then defensively, you know, they're going to get after you. They're going to blitz about 50% of the time. And, you know, so we've got to do a great job. And then the weather's, you know, not good and all that stuff. So this will be a big challenge for us, but one we're looking forward to. You know, it's not supposed to be easy. And you know, if we're going to get back to Charlotte, you best believe we're going to have to earn it. And so, you know, that's our mindset heading up there. And got a lot of respect for them and their program, and, you know, look forward to the challenge.
Deshaun Watson, Taj Boyd, Rodney Williams, Trevor Lawrence, they've all won 32 games as a starting quarterback. Not only does a win get you to Charlotte, but a win puts Trevor Lawrence in pretty good company there at number one.
Yeah, that'd be a really cool opportunity for Trevor. And, you know, probably already achieved that if we'd have been able to get all of our games in. But, you know, excited for him. I mean, what a cool opportunity that is. I mean, I've been playing football here 125 years. This is team 125. So, you know, to be able to, you know, be the winningest quarterback in school history, what an accomplishment. And to do it in three seasons, just really proud of him. What a winner. I mean, this guy is – he is nothing but a winner, and you know, really hopeful we can get that done, and that'd be a great moment to celebrate with him for sure. So, you know, I know he'll be putting his best foot forward to get it done. You can bet on that.
One thing, and if you want to comment on it, great. If not, no harm, no foul. But the ACC did tweak the schedule. Did that come as a surprise to you? And when did you find out in that whole routine?
Nothing surprises me anymore in this year, that's for sure. But now, I mean, I really thought we were playing next week. I just wanted to, my big thing that I was talking about was making sure that we played the opponent. The game got canceled, not to have to have somebody new. So yeah, I didn't know what was going to happen. I had no idea. I was just assuming that we were playing because Notre Dame was going to play at Wake. So that kind of all came out of conversations over the last couple of days, but it is what it is. I mean, we're thankful to have a chance to play 10 games. We had 11 scheduled, and you know, and listen, we wanted to play an SEC game as well. We weren't the ones that canceled the South Carolina game, that's for sure. You know, we wanted to play that, but you know, didn't get the opportunity, and we wanted to play 11. We're just hopeful, good Lord willing, we'll get our 10th in, and man, what a season it's been. And if that's good enough to get us to Charlotte, then hey, we'll move on and get ready for a great championship game if we can earn the right to do that, and anything can happen from there.
It was Dabo Swinney yesterday on Off Campus. And can I tell a funny Dabo story real quick? And I don't mean to embarrass him here, but before we started the interview yesterday, he was texting with me earlier this week, and he was texting while he was watching the show. And he was watching the replay of the show. And he told me before we started the interview yesterday, he goes, Pack, he goes, how are you texting me? I said, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, I said, I know we were going back and forth. He goes, yeah, but I was watching the show. I said, well, I don't understand. He goes, we were going back and forth and I'm watching the show. And I was like, how in the world is Pack texting me? I'm sitting here watching on TV. His hands aren't moving. He doesn't have his phone with him. I said, Devo, I said, you were watching the replay. I said, we weren't live at the time. He's like, oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. I said, yeah, we're live 7 to 10. So he was watching the replay of the show and going back and forth. Oh, so, yeah, hey, it's all about football. Don't worry about packing his magic fingers. It's all about going and taking care of the Hokies this week. So, it's going to be cold tomorrow night in Blacksburg. It's a primetime game. Virginia Tech's got nothing to lose. That's one of those play with your hair on fire. You got to figure out a way to get to 500 and have a winning season. You got Virginia coming up next. They know what's in front of them. 2 weeks to get ready. You got nothing to lose. All you can do is ruin a party if you're Virginia Tech. So we'll see where that goes. Clemson's had great success on the road. I think they're 9-2 all time in Blacksburg. But, hey, tomorrow night, you got to go play, man. We keep score. It counts. It matters.
Yeah. No doubt about it. By the way, also on your show yesterday afternoon, I enjoyed your visit with Matt Hogue.
Yeah.
Longtime friend, the AD at Coastal Carolina, who's a former radio voice of the Chanticleers, who's now an AD.
Yeah.
And what a fake right go left he's been through in the last 72 hours.
Oh, again, I know this is an ACC-centric show and network, but I think it needs to be pointed out, Wes. I'm glad you brought that up because – what Coastal Carolina went through. I mean, here they have an incredible year. They've got College Game Day coming to their house in Conway. You're taking on a Liberty team. Hugh Freeze is having an amazing year, too. It's a great story, a great matchup, top 20 matchup. Liberty goes through COVID. It happens to everybody. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to it. So Liberty's got to say, hey, we can't make the game. Here's BYU. Hey, we're over here. We're ranked in the top 20. We're open. Let's play. So within literally 72 hours, you go from playing one top 20 team to somebody you have no idea to another top 20 team that they're willing to make the travel from Provo to Conway. The point I'm making with all this is you have to adapt to scheduling. You have to tweak on the fly. It's what you do during a pandemic. And if you're a league like the ACC, hey, you know what? This is what's in our best interest to get games in and determine a champion. That's what happened this week with the ACC announcement. The Big Ten are now having conversations about, hey, our protocol was 6 games were necessary to be in the championship game. Maybe we have a conversation that needs to be lowered because here's Ohio State, who's by far the best team in the East, undefeated, a chance to be in the college football playoff, may not even have enough games to qualify based on their current rules. If you have to do that, that's what you do. It's up to each respective league to determine their champion. And it just makes comments that were made earlier this week by Greg Sankey so ridiculous. Hey, you take care of your business. ACC takes care of theirs. The Big Ten, Coastal Carolina, BYU. It's a pandemic. You make adjustments on the fly. You have to. You have to adapt. It's the only way we've gotten all these games in. You know, nimble, flexibility, pivot. We've gone over this 1,000 times since the middle of the summer. So, a tip of the hat to Coastal Carolina and BYU for getting it done. That's an incredible story.
Mm. All right. Well, and Matt Hogue at Coastal and Tom Holmo, the AD at BYU, deserve a lot of credit because I think BYU, until Cincinnati's COVID situation developed, to tie this together on the backside, BYU was going to go play Cincinnati. Were they not, Pack?
Yeah, they were. Listen, everybody, if you have an open date, let's make it work. I mean, that's really the mindset. And you've seen that, obviously, within leagues. But that's what made the whole Coastal Carolina, Liberty, BYU, College Game Day. And, oh, by the way, it's going to be a great game. And that's the thing that's so fantastic about it. As a college football fan, as I'm sitting my rear end on the couch with my new waiting to grill, compliment to Robin, hey, you want to see good games. And so, again, that's why it was such a cool story yesterday with Matt Hogue breaking down how all of that happened. And again, that's what leaders do. You adapt and you make it work as opposed to complaining and pointing fingers. Just saying.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We have more football. We have more basketball, offbeat stories, all that coming up between now and 10 a.m. But we also have Boston College at Virginia this weekend, Wes, and some streaks on the line here.
Yep.
Who's have been playing good football? They've won three straight. And BC has owned Virginia. And I told you this earlier this week. I did not know this. BC is 6-0 all time against the Hoos. Never lost to them. Did not know that.
Well, and here, isn't this interesting, too, because we don't get this game very much, and yet when we do get it, you're kind of like, man, I wish we saw BC and Virginia play a little more, right? I mean, we've kind of touched on this. We've hit it, gone on to other things, come back to it. Just saying, this football season, yeah, I know 10 conference games. I got that part. That's two more than normal. I'm aware. I usually get that answer back to me on social media whenever I bring this up, Pac. But BC Virginia is one of those games we just haven't gotten very much, right? And it's kind of fun to see, to be honest with you. And it'll be a good one, I think. A win would give the Eagles – here's the part, too, to qualify Jeff Hafley and a remarkable job he's done in year one. A win would give them their best winning percentage in a season in 11 years, Mark. Really? 11 years since 2009? I mean – That's just speaks volumes to the work he and his football team have done. I don't know that we've gotten any clarity on David Bailey and Phil Jakovic yet, though, in time for tomorrow's kickoff. And not expecting any, to be honest. I'm not sure I would either if I were Coach Hafley.
That's fine. That's how you do it, Wes, that's how you do it. I tell you nothing. You guess. You're going to guess if Jakovic and Bailey come running through that tunnel. You know when you're going to find out? Not Monday through Friday. You'll be lucky to know Saturday morning how that's going to work out. I like the way Hafley's playing this, but I do hope those guys play. Man, it makes a difference if those two aren't going.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And in the case of Phil Jakovic, let me tell you how important it is. Well, he's responsible for nearly 73% of Boston College's offense this year. And you talk about productive guys in the ACC – Jakovic is the guy. 72.6% of their total offense is geared up behind Phil Jakovic. De'Aaron King, by the way, is less than 1% behind him at nearly 72%. Malik Cunningham, 67.5%, and Kenny Pickett at nearly 64%. So, yeah, you want him to play. I think the other guy, too, that'll be fun to watch tomorrow is Zay Flowers. Down the field guy, can stretch it. He's had a really, really nice year. We talked about him earlier this week in terms of productivity. Lavelle Davis, the freshman wide receiver for Virginia, is also to keep an eye on. But this guy right here, whoa now. I'll tell you. Seven games with over 50 yards or more. Only Amari Rodgers and De'Ami Brown have more games over 50 yards in the ACC this year, and they only have one more than Zay Flowers.
Yeah, but let me tell you something, Wes. It's December, and we're in Charlottesville, and nobody walks in to Whoville thinking they're going to win in December in Charlottesville because it's never happened in football. It's only the third time in the history of dirt, I say, that somebody's going to walk in. BC, you got a chance because the first two teams that rolled into Charlottesville in December thinking they're going to do something to UVA took an L. Don't believe me? Ask Penn State. We are losing. Ask North Carolina. L. And now BC is going to try to snap the streak. Those are the only two teams that have ever played Virginia in football in December in Charlottesville. And nobody, and I mean nobody, has found a W yet.
What year were those games?
2001 and 1950. Penn State, this century. North Carolina, last century. That's the answer to your question. There's your bar bet. You want to impress your buddies? There's your bar bet. Hey, do you know? It's only the third time, man. When you're sitting around having a cold beverage with your eight buds in the bar, you hit them on the shoulder and say, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this game we're watching right here. You're not going to believe this. It's only the third time they've ever had a game in Charlottesville in December. You know, Virginia never loses in December at home. You don't believe me? Ask that 1950 North Carolina team. If you can find them, ask them. Ask them how that felt. That's Penn State. We are. Ask them. 2001. LL. Something's got to give, though. Yeah. Since Brennan Armstrong been back, been a different story. The Hoosiers are playing good football.
Yeah. By the way, tease for next week. When we get to next week, you're going to hear the phrase, well, this is the latest game they've ever played in a regular season.
You count on that.
You're going to hear that all next week.
If you could get a dollar for any conference, and I don't care, network, no network, local radio shows, you can count on the December 12th. If you hear that once for every time, you got a dollar every time you heard it, you'd be a millionaire next week. No question.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of money on that one next week. Looking forward to this one tomorrow. Virginia and Boston College, part of a big ACC Saturday. In fact, you know what? Seems like a really good time to kind of dig into one stat per game. It's a Friday staple on this program.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.